Hey yo, and here we go, another episode of We Talk Music is on there and in your ear, and I am Mo, and I don't have Brett with me, but that's okay, because honestly, he just brings the show down. We're gonna talk to two people I do have on, and this is gonna be a really interesting interview. We have Jake Dreyer, and we have Joseph Michael of Witherfall, and you guys are launching a line of a wine called Vintage, Witherfall Vintage, and I play off of the EP that you guys did in 2019. I'm really, I think that's a really cool thing right now, because honestly, hey, I was just reading today about how liquor sales are up.
Me too.
That's a coincidence. We had no idea. We had no part in planning of this pandemic. Don't blame us.
You didn't get sales up?
Better trading on our end.
Just it isn't your fault just to get sales up? You didn't?
Yeah,
No. I wish we had that power.
Yeah.
No, but it's really cool. Like, I guess you guys are all wine drinkers, right? So, Joseph, did you bring the idea to the rest of the band, or?
I happened to be over at Charlie & Echo trying out some of their wines, and I mentioned to them that we'd been looking for a winery to partner with. We've had a few offers from some smaller breweries to do like a Witherfall beer, but we're not really beer drinkers, you know? So when we started talking, it just seemed to make sense. And then I messaged Jake. I was like, hey, check this out. We drank some of their wine and decided to go ahead with it.
Yeah, it worked out really well too, because of course, us in Witherfall drink copious amounts of red wine, especially whenever we're around each other, writing, rehearsing, performing live on the bus. So we decided that we really wanted to do it with a winery too that had the same type of sort of vision that we did, the type of effort and work and just the care, passion, if you will. And Charlie and Echo make fantastic wine, so it was really a nice sort of blending of the two.
Well, how about for people that aren't wine drinkers? What is it about this wine that they're going to want to taste it?
Well, it's 100% all organic with no additives, which is one of the reasons why I shy away from any American-made wines, because there's no regulations here in this country about what they can put in it. There's no labeling, mandates or anything like that. Like when you get a wine from Spain or France, or any of those regions, they have to tell you what's in it. They're legally obligated to only have a certain few ingredients. So when I talked to them, they said that they follow those standards. They don't put any additives to, homogenize the color or the flavor. It's just the grapes and the bacteria that ferment them.
I mean, again, one of the things I really like about the wine actually is I think the label's really cool. Like, really, I mean, it's simple, but it's striking. I don't know, I like it.
I was going to say, too, that's another thing. Like, even if you're not a wine drinker, it's kind of cool. I like the aesthetic of bottled wine, so it's nice just to kind of have around. And I think another thing that we really wanted to do with it is, again, it's kind of like building a record layout or designing one, is that you get to have that creative aspect too. So Joseph and I, we did a lot of discussions on how we wanted the label to be, and definitely certain things we wanted to pop out.
The photo doesn't even do the actual label justice, because what you see on the adverts right now, it's just the rendering that we got from the artist. In reality, when you see the wine in person, the label is going to have a gold foil over our logo. So it's going to pop even better.
I went through many different sort of demos of it before we could actually settle on one. But it's going to be a really cool product.
The name Vintage, it seems obvious, but was it?
It's called Tempest. Vintage. It's the Tempest
and
Red
And
blend.
You know what? Let's correct that then.
Yeah.
My dumb self has somehow got that wrong.
Vintage is just a reference to the year that the wine is made. And it's like the song Vintage is named after a wine shop, like a little restaurant and like a wine bar that Jake and I went when we wrote that song. So, you know, they took that name because, you know, you say like vintage and then the year, like that's how you identify the year that the wine was made or bottled.
All right, that's really important. Tempest. That's also a cool name. Yep. You know,
Tempest. Tempest will come around. It's going to be a reoccurring theme this year because we have a new record coming out in the fall, and it has something to do with it.
It's just random that we chose that name for the wine.
I don't think anything's random. It seems to me like you guys are. I mean, you guys managed to. You guys have the DIY attitude, but with a certain level of standards that you set for yourselves. That, you know, not everybody with that attitude necessarily follows through on.
Well, we don't sleep.
We're just as much of dicks to ourselves as we are to everyone else.
Yeah, there's a you have to have. There's just a level of quality that we'd want to see, because it's, you know, if we're going to spend hard-earned money on something, we want it to be a quality. And also, if we're going to have our name on it, for sure, we want it to be something we're proud of. So, we're constantly trying to up the bar on that, it seems, and give ourselves more gray hairs in the process.
Yeah, right.
What are we looking at for a release date for the new album then?
Well, if the world doesn't completely turn into the stand, we're looking at a November release. So, Joseph and I, we were in the studio doing drum tracks in April, beginning of this month actually. But, with all of this whole COVID thing going on, we were supposed to be doing, a lot of the master tracking in Indiana, but all the flights got canceled and schedules got pushed back, of course. So we're that's being moved up, but it, regardless, we will still have the record delivered to the label on time. So at that point, that's all we can do. And you know,
yeah,
the fate of the world is out of our control, as you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting because I mean, I was, you know, listening to you guys and reading up on you, and I was pretty amazed, you know, that Joseph, that you didn't start out wanting to be a singer, and that you had to work at it, because when I hear you, I mean, you amaze me, honestly. So can you tell me a little bit about that journey to get to yourself where you wanted to be as a singer?
I mean, the whole thing is, like, it doesn't stop, and that's, like, whatever you think of my vocal abilities, it's a product of, I don't think it's good enough yet. So it's not that I got to a place. It's just that I had a mindset that I always needed to do something better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you think that you're good enough, you have that mindset where you're never going to get good. Like, you just never had a shot in the first place.
That's a really good answer. Yeah.
So I guess it's the same as a guitar player then.
I mean, music's music, you know, like, it's a different part of your body you're using, but it's still all brain work. It's still your hearing, and it's battling with your ego and, you know, all those other, you know, internal factors. Like, yeah, am I good enough? Or, you know, am I the shit? All those bullshit things that your brain tells you. You're wrong in both senses, you know. Like, you're not good enough.
Yeah, well, knowing that one of you...
But you are... You're going to get to whatever point you're going to get to based on, you know, how you tame your own mind, you know? Like, we all have basically the same things. Like, every guitar player has a set of hands outside of, you know, a couple of anomalies. And everybody's got a larynx, you know? Like, it's only the X factor is in how you approach everything.
So for songwriting, then, is it kind of the job when you're crafting the song then to craft a song that suits the singer, or does the singer have to step up and meet the standards of the song?
Well, it, just as a vocalist and a writer, I think that's one of the ways that you get better at any instrument, not just guitar or vocals, is that if you write based on what you hear and not based on what you can currently do, you're only going to get better just so you can perform the pieces.
That makes sense, yeah.
I mean, Jake just did
a
lot of the wings, picking 64th notes or couplets. Like, he heard that shit and he wanted to be able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, going back to what Joseph said earlier, I mean, during all this COVID stuff, you know, I practiced 6 hours a day and I only threw my guitar down on the floor 3 times. So, you know.
Exactly.
You're never, anytime you think that you're good enough and you're like, I've mastered this, you couldn't be more further from the truth. So it's just always, no matter what, I think with even every time we write a song, every time we do a record, for instance, this record that's going to be out in November, hopefully, we have a song on there that is the biggest, by far the most proggiest song we've done, and it's tested us on our writing abilities, and we did 2 songs like that on the last record, on A Prelude to Sorrow. The bookends of that record, We Are Nothing and Vintage, were past the 11 minute mark, and so it's just like that with anything. It's just always trying to outdo yourself, and that's where a lot of the competition comes into place. It's just trying to be better than you were last year, because we're trying to release a record every year. That's our mission. So be better than the year before.
Yeah, that's actually, and that's not, can't be easy. I mean, to release an album every year nowadays seems to be more rare. It seems to be a common occurrence. You know, the 70s, you look at the discography of people and it was like, you know, they put out like 3 albums in a year, but nowadays you don't see that very often anymore.
Right. I know, that was so cool though too, man. Like, the Beatles used to have shit. Was it like 3 albums or so a year? I remember, the Beatles with makeup on, Kiss, they used to, they had a few records for like, you know, 2 in 1 year. And any nerd is going to go in there and like, oh, well, it's because they only did like, you know, 1 North American run, a European run, and an Asian run. And so they only had that much and you have to tour a lot more. Yeah, but they also, you know, they were writing all the time, and it wasn't, you don't really see those big gaps that started kind of happening. So, and it's really cool when it's quality. I mean, if the record's terrible, the record's terrible, but you know, that goes back to it. Try not to make a shitty record.
Yeah. It's no coincidence that our favorite artists are not modern artists. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we're not going to talk trash about all the modern metal bands, but I mean, we don't even really consider ourselves like peers of those bands.
Yeah, it's more the prog stuff that we, or rock, you know. Just someone called us just a prog band, and I was like, I'm cool with that, because it's hard to put it down, you know. Like, Queen is our biggest influence, and
yeah,
what the hell would you call Queen? Queen's Queen.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I don't like labels at all as far as genre, but like, if you're gonna label Queen a prog band, then I guess I'll take that label. I don't really like that label at all. I just think we write songs, and you know, whatever those songs are supposed to sound like, they sound like. We don't really give a shit. Like, if they have distorted guitars or fucking ukuleles, we don't care. Whatever you put down, I'm like.
No, it makes sense. I mean, not many people are going to have Helloween and Tom Petty covers on the same album, right? But it goes back to that same idea that you're not, you know, limiting yourself to what other people think you should.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, music's music. If if you're composing something and you're like, oh, wow, you know, it'd be cool to have a Madonna-type catchy melody on top of this, and then last beats, why not? You know? It's like, there are no rules to it. That's what makes music cool. And unless you put rules on it, but our whole thing, our thesis when we started this was to, we wanted to make a band that had no boundaries to it. Kind of like how Zeppelin was, you know, Zeppelin,
exactly.
they would have, you'd have a just a dirty blues song, and then you'd have something like No Quarter, which at that time was like, what is this? But they're both, and you know, everything they did was pretty cool for the most part. But you know what I mean? It wasn't like the worst thing you can ever do, at least for me, is if I buy a record and I put it on, every song sounds the same.
Yeah. That's the scene band disease.
No, that is the worst. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, I was looking at and talking to a lot of people. It seems like the 70s, the 80s. I don't know when we started losing it, but the bands felt free to experiment because no matter what they were coming up with, there was a chance that it would be played on the radio and people would still listen to it. Somehow we've gotten away from that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at
the circle back, though. Like, if you look at, like, the Spotify playlist thing, a lot of data on that. Say what you want about the business model, but people are listening to a wider variety of music than ever, you know, at least young kids. I'm not talking about, you know, like guys in Slayer shirts. I'm talking about like the young kids that are going to be like the future of music consumers. Like, they don't care. They don't care if it's hip hop or metal or pop. They just don't care. If they like the song, they like the song, and they put it on their playlist. That's it. Like, that's all there is to it. And that's how it used to be, and it's starting to come back to it. But you got some dinosaurs that, you know, sit there and complain about everything.
Yeah, it's also kind of cool too with a lot of the satellite stuff now that it also goes like you had one of the biggest hits, radio hits ever, in Stairway to Heaven. I don't want to harp on Zeppelin for this entire interview, but I mean you cannot just be. I just did a cross country drive and. Shit, I think I heard Stairway to Heaven probably 15 times in different states just on the local radio. I mean, and that song's pushing 9 minutes, you know? It's at least in the better half of 8.5. So, the fact that long songs can be on that. Even though, and one band that I actually do, I enjoy some of their records from the earlier stuff with Between the Buried and Me, which is kind of a, you know, they're on, Sirius XM, the Liquid Metal station and shit, and you know they have some long songs, so it's like it's kind of cool with music nowadays where you can kind of do that. I think it harkens back a little bit more to that time when you did have some songs. November Rain, you know, that was huge,
right?
I mean, you know, and the whole idea,
plenty of long songs. Carry On Wayward Son, like they're all songs over 5-6 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's true. I guess. Hey, even DJ's got to take a leak. You know, put on a long song that you can hit the bathroom.
DJ piss band.
That was the Inagata DeVita thing. That's why that song blew up.
I believe
that's
it.
That's when the DJ had to go score some blow. You know.
The DJ's girlfriend showed up and puts on Inagata DeVita, get blown under the fucking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, we need that. We need more DJs like that now, you know?
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, that's one thing at least you can appreciate about the Sirius XM. I mean, the DJs are there. They're announcing the music. The people are, you know, they're setting the stations. And the guys come on. It doesn't matter if it's a Tom Petty radio station or if it's Liquid Metal or whatever it is. You know, these guys come on. They program their own music. So at least that's something that's a positive.
Yeah, we've actually gotten some play from there's the Corridor Covers, I think, on the Liquid Metal channel, and they've actually played the Tom Petty song, which I think is cool because it's the metal channel, and that song is totally acoustic, you know, it's dark and everything, but I always thought that was kind of a cool thing, and they played our Halloween cover too quite a bit on that station.
Yeah, that's cool. I think they got a good reach now. You know, I mean, it's growing. You guys, the music that you've written for this upcoming album, I guess then before all this went down in the world, that all the songs were already written, so it's nothing directly reflecting the world's current situation, or are you being able to adjust and kind of put something in?
There's the longest song on the record kind of has an element of retribution that borrows from the current situation, but it's not 100% about it.
Yeah, the next record we're going to do is I'm going to have a giant bat on it because it'll be all about the bat.
Well, you know, maybe you can get Ozzy to bite the head off the bat again and you guys take a picture and put it on the album.
Yeah, it'll be cute green.
Oh, good God.
That's awesome. All right. Well, unfortunately, I'm looking here. We only had you till 5. So I think you guys, I don't know if you have another interview or.
Yeah, we
have quite a bit tonight. But
yeah, I believe but
hey,
so.
Man, thanks for having us on, man.
And one more time, where do they get the wine? Where do they keep up with you guys? Just one more time, give everybody the up to date for Witherfall.
Joseph,
what's that? I'm sorry, I missed that.
The plugs. Time plugs. To do the plugs. Plug your shit.
Oh, We Talk Podcast.
I appreciate
where
that.
Where can they find our stuff?
Sorry, you guys said something at the same time.
You can find us on witherfall.com is where, and it should have all the links there for everything. Joseph, is there another one too that we have?
The wine is available at witherfall.com right now on the front page. All we care about is selling alcohol. If you're 21.
I hear that wine's called Tempest.
Yeah.
Tempest
Red Blend. Yep.
Tempest Red Blend.
Witherfall.com.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I hope we get you guys on again sometime in the future, maybe with no technical issues, and we can delve into some of this stuff. I love talking music. Just love talking about old music
hey,
you guys
don't,
have.
No worries. That was a fun one.
All right. We'll do like an hour next time, man, when the record comes out around that press cycle.
That sounds awesome. We appreciate it. Good luck, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, man. Keep